Stevie Wonder Boy is the sire of Made to Lover, winner of the $100,000 Moccasin Stakes at Hollywood Park, second in the grade $250,000 Santa Ynez Stakes, third in Laurel's $100,000 Willow on the Move Stakes. He's also the sire of Sticks Wonderful, winner of three of her four starts in the $250,000 Remington Park Oakville, California Stakes winner Run Stevie Run, a grade two place Cielo Hermoso, multiple grade three place Katie Get Excited, graded stakes place Starship Flare, and a stakes place Indy Lightning and Precipinaise, all from his first two crops of racing age. Stevie Wonderboy earned the Eclipse Award as champion two-year-old after winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Grade 2 Del Mar Futurity. He earned over $1 million. He is one of five Grade 1 stakes winners by the Grade 1 millionaire Stephen Gideon, a son of A.P. Indy, and he stands for $5,000 live foal and Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, and it is a nice morning right now. Anyway, I'm sure it's going to change in the next half an hour, but track's fast here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike. And didn't get much rain, obviously, here. We got a little bit at home, but not...
Yeah, the roads are wet.
Pardon?
The roads at home are wet.
Oh, are they?
When I drove in, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Got a little passing shower. By the way, if it starts raining, say something. I had to roll the windows down in your car because it's parked in the sun. And I touched one of those windows and, whoa, you know, it was hot in there. So if it rains, I'll go close them.
It'd mess up a one-car funeral.
Why?
Why in the world would you do that? I mean, it's normal for cars to get hot when they're shut up in the summertime. You know, I mean, that's all right. What are we going
to do? He's full of it. I never heard such a thing.
What are we going to do today? We got Dr. Doug Beebe coming in. He's a veterinarian, lives right over here behind over off Bryan Station, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I believe he lives right over there. Somebody was telling me. And... Yvette, he is the founder of Doc's Products Inc., one thing. And you've seen all these commercials and on the TV and magazines and everything plugging these OCD pellets. Well, he invented those.
Ah.
Yeah. And I'm just finding out a little bit. I met Doc out at Keeneland. They had that thing out at the library out at Keeneland for the Daily Racing Form.
Huh.
And anyway, he was there that night, and he was a nice kind of a fella, and he conceded that he would come on this morning. Been a vet for about 25 years, something like that. Dr. Doug Byers, of course, will be here this morning. He does our weekly vet segment for the show. Michael Blowen from Old Friends usually accompanies Doc. Steve Moody. From the Kentucky Handicap of Sheep, which is published by good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. It's a wonderful outfit. Going to give us the winner of the Katana Stakes, which is a feature down at Churchill Downs today. Of course, he does that Kentucky Handicap of Sheep. That particular race with fillies and mares, 3 and up, going 1 3/8 on the turf. I love those kind of races. The further they go, the more I like it. That's because we had slow horses, and the only way
that's right.
Only way we could win races to train them to go along. And let's see, we've got Jackie's announcements, of course. I've got some history I'm going to do, maybe a little Joe Palmer writing about the Preakness. I've got some stuff from Kent Hollinsworth, if I can get around to it. Kent was a friend of mine. Headed to the Blood Horse back, came in the 1960s, and it really was a good guy. Horses from the training center. Since last week's show, we've had 13 winners, and we've had 28 so far in the first 17 days of this month. And the trainers of those winners, the 13 since last week, Wayne Mogi, all of these were in Indiana Downs Mountaineer, no, one Churchill, and one Presque Isle, by golly. Meanwhile, let me back up again. Wayne Mogi saddled one at down at Indiana Downs. So did Melvin Kendrick. Matt Frazier, one of his quarter horses, won down there. He's Snow Quick. H-E-Z-S-N-O-W-Q-U-I-C-K. He's Snow Quick.
Oh, that's funny.
I wonder, Matt, did you name that one? If so, they ought to shoot you. Dale Loveland saddled one down at Mountaineer. So did Tim Shorter. Tim Shue had one. Tim's had a really good month. I think he's got 3-4 winners already this month. Tommy Short, Jimmy Cargan, B.G. Scooter Hughes, he's having a good month.
Yeah,
he's
Scooter's.
He's 3 or 4 this month so far.
Honey Lamb.
Yeah, Honey Lamb Hughes. Jim Rankin, good old Bourbon County boy. Luis Jurado, who was up here just a few minutes ago, clocking horses. Tim Shue had one at Presque Isle. And Scooter Hughes, what was yesterday, 17th? Yeah, he won one yesterday at Indiana Downs.
Yeah.
Another one.
So I know.
Old Honey Lamb is really doing real
Honey
good.
Honey Lamb's digging in.
Yeah. Well, let's see. While I've got a minute here before I have to take a break, let me take care of my good friends over at the KTA. Because sometimes we get to rolling around here And let me give you the names of the breeders of stakes winners, Kentucky bred stakes winners from last week. Starting with the Peter Pan up at Belmont Park, and Freedom Child won that. That's a Malibu Moon. Boy, is he having a great great year. Of course, he's got the Derby winner and the Preakness favorite. Freedom Child was bred by Spendthrift Farm, which is, of course, the home of said Malibu Moon. Leah Son won the Mervyn LeRoy Handicap, grade 2, out at Hollywood Park. Leah Son is by the deceased Indian Charlie, who stood our career down at Airdrie Stud. And the late Bill Carl bred. Bill was a really nice guy, a good friend of mine. He bred Leah Son out of a mare by Victory Gallop. Had a license to run on a little bit. Let's see what else we've got. I've got some more over here. The Albert the Great Stakes at Belmont Park. Percussion won that, bred by Ben Walden and Bluegrass Farm Partners. The Came Home Stakes at Hollywood Park. Let 'em Shine, bred by Stephen McDonald. The Inaugural Stakes up at Presque Isle went to Lenin, bred by Robert B. Trussell Jr., John T.O. Jones the third, and Empire Partners. The Unbridled Sydney Stakes at Churchill last week went to Good Deed. Good Deed is a Broken Vow filly. Ghost Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud. And this one bred by Bert, Elaine, and Richard Klein. And let's see here. Don't make me pronounce this French thing.
Spell it.
Spell it. Well, pre I can handle.
Oh, okay. Pricks.
But the second word is the H-O-C-Q-U-A-R-T. H-O-C-Q-U-A-R-T.
Hocart? Who knows?
Who knows? Well, okay, now you
Frog.
You made me do it.
Froggy.
Okay. It's a group two stakes anyway, and it's a Giant's Causeway that won it. Of course, he stands over at Ashford Stud. And Tableau was the horse's name, and he was raised.
Oh, that's Tableau.
Tableau. Yeah, T-A-B-L-E-U-X.
Tableau.
Okay,
Tableau.
Well,
that one I know.
Well, glad. I'm glad to hear it. Galilea of Bloodstock bred it and was raised over at Ashford Stud, by the way. Let's see. In Ireland, the 1,000 Guineas trial went to Just Pretending, another Giant's Causeway, and this one bred by Eagles Holdings. So all that is compliments of David Schweitzer and the folks over at TRA and TOBA.
Michael and Doc are here.
And Michael and Doc are here. Is that a signal for me to proceed with what I'm going to take?
I don't know.
I'll do a break here, and we'll get to Michael and Doc. Well, Brushed by Stars won 4 stakes and placed in 5 more. Goes in a stakes race today, by the way, up at Pimlico, for earnings of over $629,000. She won the Grade 2 Molly Pitcher and the Grade 2 Shaluki, and she's placed in 3 stakes this year, including the Grade 1 Santa Margarita and a Grade 3 60 Sales. Brushed by Stars by Eddington. So is Secret Circle, winner of the Grade 2 Rebel, Grade 3 Southwest, and the Jack Goodman out at Santa Anita. And now the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint. It is now Grade 1. It was Grade 2 when he won it, but now it's Grade 1. That's the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint. He also was second in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby and in the Grade 3 Sham. Earned over $1 million already. Gold Edge, one of 5 2012 stakes winners by Eddington, won 2 stakes at Arlington. One of them was the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie. And those are the kind of runners you can get with Eddington. He's a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,216,000. He's by Classic winner and Classic Sire Unbridled, who incidentally is also the Broodmare Sire of Orb. And Eddington stands for $5,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Get in touch with Bernie Sams over at Claiborne. It's 859 number 233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Sydney's Candy's hit a new track record to break his maiden as a 2-year-old at Del Mar, 1-4. That was the beginning of a brilliant career. He won 5 graded stakes as a 3-year-old. Excuse me. He won the Grade 2 Santa Anita Derby, a race which has proven a testing ground for a long list of successful sires, notably AP Indy, Sunday Silence. He sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-4 to take the Grade 1 San Felipe, and he ran a mile and won 33-3 the day he won the Grade 3 Beaufort, thus proving his versatility by winning graded stakes on dirt, grass, and artificial. So, following his record-breaking win as a 2-year-old, he won 6 stakes and placed in 4 others, all graded, and he earned more than $1,104,000. Sydney's Candy is one of 7 Grade 1 stakes winners by Candy Ride, and he's out of the multiple Grade 1 winner and Millionaire Exchange. She's by Stormcat. His first foals are arriving to rave reviews. He stands for $15,000 doing a foal stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. And see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. That was a pretty good oops you had there, Doc.
Yeah. hard work.
Dr. Doug Byers here, and so is Michael Blowen. And, Michael, how are you this morning? Now that you've got a Saturday's racing form, I'm sure you're happy.
I am happy. I got a free racing form courtesy of Ellis Enterprises. It's a fabulous thing.
Well,
that's not the only reason I'm happy.
Okay, what's up?
Oh,
okay.
I got all sorts of reasons today.
That means he's raising more money, or somebody's donated something.
Yeah. You know,
I got him, haven't I? Go ahead.
There you go. He's the new Sherlock Holmes here. He figures out everything. Solves the mystery before the mystery's even started.
You don't have to be a Sherlock Holmes to figure that out.
Well, we can start with the fact that you buy things at our auctions and then give us the item back and the money. That's a good way to start. That's a good precedent to set.
Jackie twisted my arm.
And then this is kind of funny. Burt Bacharach, the great songwriter, his memoir came out this week. And Afternoon Delights was at the farm. It was one of his horses.
Was that named after one of his songs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I decided as a something to do, because I didn't have anything better to do with my time, to get a picture of Afternoon Delights reading the excerpt about him in Burt's memoir. and get a picture of it.
Okay.
So he's leaning over the fence, leaning over my shoulder, and the way Rick Capone, the great photographer, took this picture really looks like he's checking out the book to making sure what's written about him was accurate. So I write a little note to Bert's assistant, and I send the pictures along. And then the next morning, I get down to the office to check the message to see who's coming on tour, and it goes, "Hello, this is Bert Bacharach from Los Angeles, California. I want to let you to know how happy you made me." So I'm trying to get him to come to Lexington in the fall. He's going to Europe now and doing a tour. Then he's going to spend the entire season at Del Mar, which he does. And then when he catches his breath, that's when I'm going to try and catch him. Because okay. I want him to come here and do that's what old friends are for, tour.
Oh, okay.
He wrote that song, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Wow.
That'd be good. And that's not all. You might think that would be enough for anybody, but it's not enough. It's just not enough. So this morning I got another message that a lady in New York just donated a bunch of shares of Humana stock to us. It's worth about $5,000. I just have to call her to get the money. Then we got a $20,000 check as part of the proceeds from Ferdinand's ball. So that's pretty good. And best of all, this is best of all. You ready? We're going to bring Jerry home from Italy.
Bring Jerry home?
Mm-hmm.
The
Paulson horse.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. What
G-E-R-I.
About theatrical.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I thought he was too young for you to remember, but but I guess not. I was wrong again.
Didn't take him long to come and get around insulting me, did it?
But Jerry's a beautiful horse.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen the horse. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'll take your word for it. How old a horse is he now?
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. But he was living in a monastery over there. So no matter what we do for him, it'll seem lively.
In a monastery?
Yeah, an abandoned monastery. A 13th century Italian monastery that was converted into a horse farm.
Is that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this.
It's true.
Okay.
Sylvia's got pictures. Sylvia, who's our director of everything. I'm the director of everything else. But she's the old friend's director of everything. She went to Italy a couple years ago and visited him and took pictures of him in the monastery.
Huh. Well, maybe it'll convert you.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I'm very excited. I'm very excited about him. And Andrea Brancini, who runs Horse America, he's helping us with that. So,
okay.
When's it coming?
We hope within a month.
Ah.
We hope within a month.
Yeah.
Now, just got to get Rusty Ford to cut us a break. You know, every time we bring away these horses back from overseas, they have to be test bred to two mares, no matter how old they are.
Well, maybe they didn't object. You know, I mean, that's
well, Sunshine Forever did, but Creator didn't when they had to do it.
That's the French coming out in him.
Yeah, spent too much time in Paris. Yeah, so it's been so exciting. And then, on top of everything else, Monday afternoon from 1 to 4, Calvin Burrell's coming to the farm. We're going to celebrate his upcoming selection to the Hall of Fame, and he's bringing Rosie Naprobnik with him. And Rosie, of course, is the latest member of the old friends board of directors.
And that's Monday,
one to four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jackie.
It's open for everybody, so everybody come out. You can see everybody. You know, Rosie. You know, Rosie's riding my loot today in the Preakness, so it's all very exciting.
Yeah, who are you liking the Preakness, by the way?
I don't know. I like my loot. Well, the other reason is the owner's a great guy, and he's a big supporter of old friends.
Yeah.
And he's going to help us a lot, and he's a great guy. He came to Ferdinand's ball with the whole My Loot crew, so I'm rooting for My Loot. Now, am I going to be terribly disappointed if Orb wins? Of course not. I think it would be terrific for racing and terrific for Orb and terrific for Stroke and everybody else if Orb wins.
Yeah.
It'd actually be good for us, too, because we have our big event coming up at Belmont Park, at Belmont. And if he's going for the Triple Crown, the attendance is bound to rise. So
they're trying to make a big deal out of the one hole.
No.
Yes. They're going a mile and 3
I can't believe we're going to agree on something.
Yeah.
This is an unbelievable thing.
It's not a big field.
Yeah, it's a 9-horse field, and you know, going a mile and 3/16. If he can't get out in trouble in that way, I'd fire my rider right away.
What was the statistic? Out of the last 20 starters out of the one hole in the Preakness Stakes, only two of them were less than double-digit odds. I mean, you know, just that you were getting horses that couldn't win in the first place breaking out of the one hole. It didn't make any difference what hole they broke out of. They weren't probably going to win.
This is a carryover from the Derby, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can understand that.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that, the camera work from behind the gate in the Derby, and it's where you look like the one horse is running right into the rail.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bad place to be in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree, but I think you're right, Russell. Absolutely. I don't think it's going to be a problem in the Preakness, and I think he'll probably win.
I hope he does. He's training real well, you know, but, you know.
Yeah, his workout the other day was unbelievable. I actually saw it on TV yesterday. It was just something.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading they quoted Shug saying he got goosebumps watching it.
Yeah, I got goosebumps watching it on TV.
Did you?
And it's not even my horse.
Yeah.
I'm easy with the goosebumps, though. Sometimes I'm even sitting next to Doug, and I get the goosebumps. Just being next to him and realizing how much knowledge there is packed into that person, see?
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, yeah. We're looking forward to Monday, then.
Yeah, it'll be fun. 1-4 at the farm. Come one, come all. No charge. We got a lot of nice photographs that they'll be signing in exchange for a donation of your choice. Mm-hmm. And some nice pictures of Rachel Alexandra, some nice pictures of Believe You Can when Rosie won the Oaks. Nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very friendly, and they'll engage you in conversation because they're really nice.
Yeah. Anything to eat? Anything while you're going to be there?
Well, I don't know. I'll ask Diana what we have in the refrigerator.
Okay.
Whatever we have left over from.
I know there's some Sam Adams in there. Let it get us over.
Oh, no. That's
empty.
That'll be under lock and key.
Well, Doc and I are not coming in.
I'll give you a key.
All right.
But it should be a lot of fun, and I just want to thank everybody for all the support we've been getting lately. I really, really do appreciate it. Sources are great, and we're going to be able to bring some more to old friends if everything goes right in the next year.
Some more to old friends?
Yeah, well, we're going to got to expand. You know, you can't just sit still and rest on your laurels. You got to keep going. Let's go.
Doc,
stretch it out.
Doc's just shaking his head over here.
I mean, we're not going to stuff him in, but we're going to put up this money. We can, you know, we got a few more acres in the back that we haven't fenced yet. We can fence that in. Have one there. And there's a little thing over here, a little thing over there. You never know.
All right.
He's hoarding.
I'm not hoarding. I'm expanding. That's all. The only job we have is retiring these horses. There's nothing else we're supposed to be doing. And a lot of them need homes, and we want to give them a good home.
Can I tell you a funny story about the word hoarding?
Yes.
Down in the mountains, down in the deep in the mountains, these two sisters that lived way up on Pine Mountain brought in some bags of money. They had never trusted banks, and they decided they'd put it in a bank. So, actually, it was Ed Kaywood said, the president of the bank, he said, that's quite a lot of money. How long have you hoarded this money? And the girl said, well, now I'm a good girl, but my sister, she hoarded hers.
I can't believe she told that.
That's funny.
It is funny. Pimped her sister. It's a terrible thing. I don't believe that anybody in Kentucky would ever do that.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, let me take a break. We'll get Doc on.
I'm sure it was North Dakota.
Yeah.
No, it was Harlan.
No, it was Harlan. Well, one of my favorite horses, Flotilla. Did you see where she won the Guineas?
Yeah.
French 1000?
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah, really neat.
I love Mizzen Mast. He's, have you ever seen him, Doc?
No.
But he's a grand-looking horse to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, he can just, you know, he's worth the money, you know, for $15,000, you know, and he gets, you know, that good filly, Misdirection, who's probably the best sprinter on grass in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got a French Oaks winner. And not Oaks winner, should be a favorite, but French Guineas winner. Don't ask me to pronounce the damn name.
Didn't she? She won the Breeders' Cup, too.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Both of them did. Yeah, two Breeders'. He was the only sire to have two winners of Breeders' Cup races last fall.
Nice.
Yeah, both of them. And they both ran just alike. It came from nowhere. Went, like that, you know. You remember that race?
Yeah, I do.
Exciting races.
Very exciting.
Well, anyway, that's your commercial, Garrett.
All right.
No, I'll give you more than that. Flotilla, a 3-year-old filly of a Mizzen Mast, making her first start since winning the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf last November, won the Group 1 French 1,000 guineas last Sunday. Flotilla was described as a cozy winner over a field of 23-year-old fillies, winning by nearly a length but at the direct expense of previously undefeated Esoteric. Daughter of Dane Hill Dancer. Flotilla has accumulated earnings of more than $916,000, and she looms as the one to beat in the upcoming French Oaks. She's one of five Grade 1 stakes winners by Mizzen Mast, a list that includes the brilliant millionaire Misdirection, winner of the 2012 running the $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and until proven otherwise, the best sprinter in the nation on the turf of either sex. Grade 1 winner Mizzen Mast by Cozine stands for $15,000 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of Grade 1 winner First Defense. The First Defense has got a graded stakes winner on dirt and a group stakes winner on grass in his first crop. He stands for $7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Tiago won a place in 11 graded stakes. He won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, a race noted for winners that went on to become successful sires, AP Indy, Indian Charlie, Sunday Silence. He won the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap. And among his stakes placings, you'll find the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. He earned more than $2,358,000. You don't earn that kind of money by dodging tough competition. During his career, he met and defeated 23 Grade 1 or Group 1 stakes winners, including the likes of Curlin and Hardspun. Tiago is one of 8 Grade 1 stakes winners by champion Pleasant Tap, the sire of 58 stakes winners. Tiago's dam, a multiple stakes winner, is also the dam of Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo, winner of over $2,537,000, and he's the sire of 17 stakes horses in his first three crops, 4 2013 stakes winners, including the multiple graded stakes winner and classic place Disposable Pleasure, recent winner of the Grade 3 60 Sales Stakes. Multi-millionaire and Grade 1 winner Tiago stands for $3,500 due on the foal stands and nurses at Adena Springs. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback. Here's his number, 859-987-1798, and see the website at adenastallions.com.
I'm heading down the highway.
All righty, well, we've got Dr. Doug Bauer with us this morning. He just hit the mic. It's a $5 fine.
What happens if it's important? Mike.
How you doing this morning, Doc?
Doing fine. First thing I need to announce, keep me out of trouble.
This has nothing to do with Susan.
Susan had, we had our 45th anniversary.
Oh, now come on. What'd you do, Mary, when she was 10 years old?
Yeah,
something?
Just about. And so... Anyway, I didn't get her anything because I can't go shop until I get driving privileges.
Well.
So, you know, cause the...
you know, if you call up florist or something like that, they'll deliver.
That's a lame excuse.
Yeah, that is.
When's the last time a florist delivers flowers to you, Jackie, at your house? She's hit the way back
machine. Ask her when's the last time I brought her flowers.
Yeah.
Okay, when's the last time you brought your flowers?
Last anniversary.
Nice. How long have you been married?
Not that long. 31 years.
31, yeah.
31.
I think he'd get it by now.
Did you hear what she said?
Yeah, she's trying to add it up.
She says you think he'd get it by now. I'm afraid to get it.
He needs a few more years.
Go ahead, Doc. We're sorry.
Well,
too many smart mouths.
I got a book here by Brad Smith, a good friend of mine, and looking through some of the topics. And the topic to look at is pain. So Jackie was looking over my shoulder at the book.
I thought she was looking at me.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so anyway, I think the main thing on pain is everybody needs to appreciate you've got sensory and motor pain fibers that conduct the nerves. So the if you had pain from the gut, the bowel is pretty endowed with pain fibers. And so there. But if you had pain from something that would be not encased within the, so the pain fibers aren't innervated very much, and so they don't feel the same thing. So Jackie was looking. She said, "How would you find pain in the chest?" So this book breaks down pain from the respiratory system, bowel, bone, all those things. So how would you find those? Well, if you took the lung, for example, you only have sensory fibers in the periphery. So if you had a problem with the lung, there isn't a whole lot of sensory. So if you think about pneumonia, you know, you're uncomfortable, but it's not an excruciating pain. But if you had a chest wall like pleurisy, then there's a lot of pain associated with that.
That's hard to cure in a horse, too, isn't it, pleurisy?
No.
Isn't it anymore? It used to be. It used to be almost fatal.
Yeah, when I was in veterinary school, just basically if you figured it out, you put them down.
Yeah.
And we did a study, probably 20 years ago, and we reviewed 163 pleurisy cases, and 94% of them lived.
I had a little mare back in the 60s named Golden Wedding, by I Will, I think she was, who got pleurisy, and I had to put her down. Yeah, she got so she just was suffering to breathe, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's a major problem, and the main thing you want to do is if 94% of them are going to live when you treat them, then you go ahead and treat them. Now, the main thing is what's the function? How much function is still left? You know, in other words, are they going to be slow runners? You can't.
Yeah. Well, this was a mare.
Yeah.
She was. They've been a nice little race mare, but she, you know.
Yeah.
Never got to breed her.
Yeah. Well, the we're better for a number of reasons that they live. One is we can see what's going on with the ultrasound machine, which you didn't have that back
when
that mare was long. So you just knew she was breathing hard, and once in a while their breath would smell, and they get necrotic. And
you knew what you had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how bad, and then therapeutically, you put the tubes in the chest strategically. Put it where the pocket is, and get those pockets drained.
You drain it, yeah.
You know, so back in your days, it's all blind.
Yeah.
You just, and pleurodynia is the word for pain. And so if you bump on the chest, they grunt. And so they're painful.
Yeah.
And so you do better. Then you've got oral antibiotics or new antibiotics that we didn't have back then. You pretty much gave them penicillin and That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the penicillin spectrum is...
giving away my age already.
The, anyway, they, now you've got lots of choices, mm-hmm. antibiotics. So you can clean them up, and then once they heal, and we've got drugs to improve them, like aminophylline and improve their lung function.
Yeah.
So they get better, mm-hmm. but you... We've come a long way.
Yeah.
And a lot of things. So when I mentioned bone pain, where's the bone pain coming from? Well, the bone is painful, but you have to block them out so that you can find the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And same sort of thing. We've just gotten smarter and more proficient.
So learned a little bit down through the years.
We have, you know, Michael taught us all.
No.
Oh, yeah, sure. You should see. I wish you had television. Sardonic look.
But anyway, the bowel pain, the chest pain, the bone pain, neck, and... I mean, you could tell they're painful in the neck, but now our X-ray machines are easy to localize where there could be a fracture or something that triggered it. So, I think if we do a good job of diagnosing, we do a lot of diagnostics early on, and goes better. So
yeah, okay, very good. Who's the book?
This is a friend of mine from California. So
Large Animal Internal Medicine, Bradford P. Smith. Okay,
yeah, he retired, so he's riding his bicycle all around the countryside.
You're kidding?
No.
But he sounds like a nut to me.
No, he's a good guy, really a good guy.
Retired to ride bicycles.
Well,
I think I'll pass on that one. All right. Well, took a little break here. Well, Unbridled was a classic winner and a classic sire. What's more, he is the broodmare sire of this year's Kentucky Derby winner, and a host of others. Mouston Farr is a multiple graded stakes winner by Unbridled. He won graded stakes at Keeneland and at Belmont Park. In fact, he won a place in 9 graded stakes, was beaten less than a length in grade 1 stakes, and he was versatile, winning on dirt, grass, and artificial. And for those of you breeding to race, looking for a sire that can put you in a winner's circle and standing for a moderate fee, consider Mouston Farr. He is the sire of 7 winners and won the place from 9 starters, including 5-time winner in stakes place Mothiba. Mouston Farr stands for $2,000 live foal, stands over Chadwell Farm, the home also of grade 1 winner and proven graded stakes sire De Hare by Awesome Again, Into Dub, a graded stakes winner, and the sire of the 2013 graded stakes winner Hit Hard Hoof, Hall of Famer Invisor, the sire of 2013 stakes horses at Belmont, the Fairgrounds, and Tampa Bay, of Jazzle, winner of the classic grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and the sire of grade 1 stakes winners. Inquiries with Stay Manager Ken Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen over at Quillen Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. Good old Paris, Gay Paris. If you're going, let me tell you how to find his tack shop. If you're coming in from the Lexington area, just keep going straight. Don't turn left on the bypass. Keep going to the third stoplight and look to your left. And there's old friends. Quillen Leather and Tack, great place to visit, nice people. Go in and say hello to Sandy or Debbie or to Ralph if he happens to be around, although he's usually up on that second floor up there and parked in front of his computer. I wish he'd do something about that stairway. Dang, that's steep for me, an old fella like me, to climb. So I just stand down at the bottom of the stairs and holler at him. But Ralph's a great guy, and it's a great tack shop. They ship out over 17,000 halters a year worldwide. And if you're local and you walk in the door and you're buying something, you get automatically get a 10% discount. because they like to do business with local people. And as long as they don't have to ship it, you know, you can save 10% right there. And they've got a great gift shop for you people looking for gifts for horse lovers of just about any age. You can find it right there in the best halters in the world. That's Quillen Leather and Tack, and in Paris, Kentucky, and it's Quillen.com, Quillin.com. Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form. You got it over there, Michael?
There it is.
Yeah, okay.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, that's my Preakness edition. You're not going to take that.
What do you mean, Mike? I got it right here. You said I could have the Saturday form, this part of the Saturday form.
No, I need that.
Jeez. So I get Woodbine on Preakness Day. Well. I can't wait. I'm so excited. My God, it's unbelievable. It's like getting a sundae and somebody else takes the whipped cream and the cherry and the hot fudge. You're left with a bunch of melted ice cream. Doggone it. I thought for a moment there he had that moment of great generosity, and now he's taking it all back.
Well, no, I separated it for a reason, and you went around and dug it out.
Well, I'm looking through the racing form in the Saturday edition, and I can't find Pimlico on the only day in the world you want Pimlico.
That's true.
Look, you got
it. Anyway, I handicapped it.
Wait a minute. You got Churchill Downs, Belmont Park.
I know what I got there. I've seen it all. Okay. You've got the thing in there. But I marked it up for you, so if you want to make a little bit of money, just look at my check marks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So let's talk about, you want to talk about the racing form? Hey, they're coming out with another magazine for old friends.
Well, I know they are.
In a couple weeks. I'm very excited.
You gave me some from last year's, you know, that it's great. And I left them over at the
tax shop.
No. Over at the office over there to give to tourists when they come in.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah. In fact, I brought some more because they had a request for more. So I got some more.
Oh, really? Did they ask you about them? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where they came from.
You're the best. I forget everything I said about you stealing the Preakness program today. I didn't mean a word of it.
You don't think I was going to watch the Preakness without my racing form, do you?
Well, as I said, I thought for a moment there was a spark of generosity, but apparently I was mistaken.
Yeah, obviously. you got to draw a line somewhere.
Exactly. But anyway, the racing form has been fabulous to us. And I have to tell you, we every year we give out the Frankel Award up at Belmont at our Ohika Castle event. It's on the Wednesday before the Belmont at Ohika Castle, and this year we're going to give it to the racing form.
Ah.
They're going to get the special award. It's a really nice award, too. It's a bronze of Frankel the horse.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, they're nice. Very nice.
And they've done everything for us. So.
Well, they got some good articles in it this week. I haven't had I just picked it up this morning. It was available yesterday. It comes out in the Sunday edition, the breeding edition. And, of course, Glennie Keane, Oakford. She was fun to talk to.
She's great. She's great.
She's writing about the Mid-Atlantic sale. John Sparkman's got an article on there in Preakness and Future Sire Success and how Preakness winners have done at stud. Nicole Russo writing about Claiborne Farm and prominent clients down there. And Patrick Reed's got writing about a hot horse that's standing up in now. He's up in Pennsylvania, Rockport Harbor. So it's the breeding edition, and it comes out every Sunday in the Daily Racing Form in that edition. So you want to make sure you get that. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's really fabulous. You know, it's really nice that a lot of the refugees, like Mark Simon, the editor of Thoroughbred Times, and his wife Mary, who wrote that great column all the time in the Thoroughbred Times, and Nicole Russo and all these people came over from the Thoroughbred Times right into this DRF breeding thing, and they brought all that experience and all that talent and all that writing talent and enthusiasm to this venture.
All righty.
I got to say one thing, though. Michael started this 10 years ago. If it had flopped, I don't think anybody else would have tried doing this, but you made a big success out of it. Now you got more and more people interested in doing it.
Yeah.
I really think whatever it is, you made a big first step.
Whatever it is, I'm grateful because there are more homes for these horses.
Doug Beebe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just walked in the door behind us. He's going to come on the show.
Oh, good. Finally, they're going to get some decent information.
Soon as we get rid of you.
I'm leaving. I yield.
You're all right.
I yield the floor to Doug Beebe.
All right. Let me take a break here and pardon? Yeah, Doug's coming on with me. Another Doug, another vet Doug.
Yes. Yep.
Well,
yep.
Well, you got something smart you got to say now? Oh, you want your book.
Right.
Well, Beautiful Dancer, a two-year-old Philippa Notional winner, debut in a maiden special at Keenan in game fashion on April 25. She is the first starter from the second crop by Notional. Signed his first crop of Risky Call, winner of two of the Canadian Juvenile Stakes, and never out of the money with three wins and a pair of seconds from five starts. And of Hopeful Notion, winner of a maiden special at the fairgrounds and second next time out in the Gentilly Stakes, also at the fairgrounds. Then there are such promising first crop runners as Calder Allowance winner Aunt Anna, D Notional, a maiden special winner at Louisiana Downs, Jenny Says So, winner first time out of a maiden special at Parks and of Allowance race in her second start, a Malachite, a maiden special winner at Aqueduct, Southern Knights, a maiden special winner at the fairgrounds, to mention just a few of the up-and-comers by Notional. Notional won three graded stakes, ran second in the Grade 1 Florida Derby, earned over $733,000, and he's by the same sire as Indian Charlie. Now take note, Notional is eligible for Spencer's Breed Secure Program, along with the young stallions Dominus, Lionel David, Patio Prado, Temple City, Warriors Reward, Wilburn. Contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at Spendthrift Farm. Number over there is 859-294-0030. Check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Want to talk a little bit about Reborn, a whole bovine colostrum, which is a great aid as far as the newborn foals, or starting with foals as a matter, because it strengthens their immune system. And you know there's always a shortage around here of colostrum. So you can use it as a supplement with your foals to strengthen their immune system while they're nursing on the mare. And it's a high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages and provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. Maximum efficiency is what Reborn delivers. Now, for more information about Reborn, I've got a website here for you. It's reborne.com. And one other product that's put out by my good friend Dr. Steve Allday is Lubricin. And Lubricin, actually, Jacqueline and I take Lubricin.
Yeah, I'm already doing backflips.
No, I hadn't noticed that.
Oh, well, they're so fast, you know, you wouldn't.
Yeah, right. But it's endorsed by Jackie and other owners, trainers, and veterinarians. And I tell you who they uses it, Todd Fletcher and Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker, just to mention a few. So it's a great product. And you can go to that, it's lubricin.com, lubricin.com. And you can pick it up locally at KBC here in Lexington, Horse Sense down in Versailles. So, two wonderful products that I happen to believe in, Lubricin and Reborn. Well, last Saturday at Churchill Downs, the Unbridled Sydney Stakes was won by Good Deed, a four-year-old filly by Broken Vow, bred and owned by Bert Lane and Richard Klein. Trained by Steve Margolis. Good Deed won convincingly by 4 1/4 lengths and registered her second score of the year, stake score of the year. She won the Mardi Gras Stakes at the fairgrounds in February. She's one of six 2013 stakes winners by Broken Vow. She was also one of 19 stakes winners, 27 stakes horses by Broken Vow in 2012. Broken Vow is by Unbridled, the broodmare Salve Orb, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud for $25,000 live foal. Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic also stand at Pin Oak. The first foals by Cowboy Cal at 2 years old. One sold for $420,000 at the OBS March sale. Cowboy Cal won the Laurel for 32, and then he went on to win a place in 12 stakes, 3 at 3 and 4, 11 graded, 4 grade 1, and he earned over $1 million. He's by champion Sire Giants Causeway. Now, Eclipse World won the Sky Classic inside over 100 stakes horses, 59 stakes winners, and 6 champions. Both Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic stand for $7,500 live foal. Inquiries of Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, to see the website at pinoakstud.com. Give you some money.
Is that on the air?
Probably. Yeah.
I don't care.
Apparently not.
No. Yeah, you're going to have to get closer to that mic, Doc.
Right here.
Yeah. Jackie wants some money.
When I used to sing, they used to get me away from the microphone as far as I could get.
Oh, well, me too. So that's a different.
Well, scoot up some so you won't have to lean over so far.
I want to be. You always have to remember that you have to be in a protective mode. So, see, I can move back real quick. You see, but if I'm up here, I can't move back as quick.
Ah, well, that's the reason I'm here. Yeah, somebody tell me you live right over here off Bryan Station. Is that right?
Muir Station, yeah.
Muir Station? You live on Muir Station?
Muir Station and Bryan Station, you can throw a rock to my place.
Yeah, is that right? Now, you go past Windy Corners, past down there on the right past Windy Corners or the left?
You know something? I'll tell you real quickly. But I am totally shocked. I have the only rock wall entrance on the freaking road.
Is that right?
And 9 out of 10 people cannot find it. It's 200 yards. It's from here to that house over there past the corner.
Yeah.
I said, just drive past the corner. Go right straight. Don't turn left. Don't turn right. On the left-hand side, you're going to see a rock wall entrance with four pillars, with lights. You can't miss it.
Okay.
They drive right past it.
All right. Well, all right. Well, it's on the left.
On the left. You can't miss it.
The reason I asked that is because on the right, probably a little bit further down, is the old Clifford Moore place.
It's a long ways down, though.
Is it further down than that?
Yeah.
Well, he owned a lot of land in there, Clifford Moore did.
Well, you know where Mr. Snodgrass's land piece is, don't you?
No.
Well, his is down there on the right.
Well, that's.
And then it's way past that you come to the other place, which has a rock wall entrance on the right-hand side. Mine's like from here to that tank over there.
Oh, okay.
Just when you go through the stop sign, you go up a hill, a little bit of a grade, and then you go down and back up. I'm there.
Okay. Boom. Okay. Do you eat up at Windy Corners much?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
We just walk there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my wife and I just walk down.
I don't walk anywhere.
Well, we drive sometimes too, but I mean, a lot of times we'll just, if it's nice that we'll just walk down to Windy Corner and grab supper. We don't eat there often, but like on the weekends maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Or Sunday morning.
How long have you been practicing here now?
24, 25
years. How come we never met before?
Because I've never been right here. I've been mainly in Florida and Georgia. South Carolina. I did a stint in South Carolina with a resident vet at Webb Carroll's Training Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, he's turned a lot of runners out of there, hasn't he?
He has, man.
Yeah.
He really has. And Frank Smith, Frank Smith is as great a horseman as I know. Does all Dale Romans, picks all Dale Romans horses, and has horses for everybody. But he usually breaks 100, and I think he said he had 180 this year.
Wow. Do you go there much?
Yeah, I go there probably once a month or so.
I see. Yeah. You travel a lot.
Well, I do, but because I can't work on the racetrack anymore. Because if you work on the racetrack, you've got to go 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Or don't do it.
Yeah, I know. It's all this travel. You must have a family.
I don't have any family.
You don't have a family?
No.
Well, I can understand why, as much as you're out of town.
Well, I have a wife, a good wife. We've been married 30 years.
Well, that's a family.
That's a family. Well, but I mean kids. I don't have any kids.
No. Okay, well.
No kids, no dog.
No. You're kidding.
No.
You don't have a dog either?
Don't have a dog. No. I think I might get one, but I don't know for sure. We're out of town a lot, so it's hard to, you know.
Well, your wife will take care of it. That's what you're
married. No, she comes with me a lot of times.
Well, that's great.
But she runs the OCD medicine office now, so she's pretty very brilliant. When I was doing graduate work at Auburn, she was doing graduate work at Auburn also.
Uh-huh.
So she's probably...
Is she a vet also?
No, but she's probably more cerebral than me for sure.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know how smart she is. You married me, so...
That's what Jackie says about me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But anyways...
But you started out traveling... Was the racetrack.
I traveled, I never even went to, I just came off vet school and went to Mid-Atlantic and went to do an internship at the Mid-Atlantic Equine Center it was in New Jersey.
Well, where are you from originally?
Originally from Canada.
From Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My dad was in the Air Force.
He liked Dr. Charlie.
like Dr. China.
Don Hagen. They were from Canada, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his father was.
Okay.
Yeah, they. And I think, did you know? No, he probably died before. Did you know Dr. Charlie Hagen?
No, didn't know him.
Yeah.
Okay. No, did not know him.
I'm pretty sure he was from Canada. I know he went to vet school up there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
I know that.
Probably at Guelph.
Yeah.
There's only three in Canada.
I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, but of course. Yeah, we're on the air.
Are you okay? Let me ask you a question. How many vet schools are there in all of North America? That's the United States and Canada.
How in the hell would I know that?
Just give me a guesstimate.
Vet schools. I would say not that many. Probably, I would say maybe 25.
Well, you're pretty close.
Yeah,
you're pretty close. There's probably 30 now, I think. There's one more new one in Canada. There was 28 when I was
going. I know it's hard to get into them. It's harder to get into vet school than it is to get into med school with them.
Well, I can tell you for a fact that I was accepted to med school and got rejected to vet school. That's why I went back and did graduate work when I was at Auburn. So my father didn't really like that idea. But
was your doctor an MD?
Yeah, an MD.
Okay. All right. And
I was raised on a farm. You know, I was on a farm. I
mean, raised horses? Farm.
No, just a really nice environment, I thought, when I was growing up. But it was, you know, kids nowadays probably wouldn't think it was great. But we had a wood stove, wood furnace, worked in the woods with horses all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what part of Canada? What
Eastern part.
Pardon?
Eastern part. No, Nova Eastern. Scotia, New Brunswick.
Okay.
Quebec.
Yeah. No horses around there much.
No horses at all. Just workhorses.
Yeah.
But my grandfather was the vet.
Well, he was a vet.
He wasn't a vet.
No.
He was, quote, the vet. There was no vet. None.
Yeah.
The nearest vet was like, I think there was one like 90 miles away. So people then tend to use the person who is most knowledgeable in the area.
Yeah.
So they did, and he was the guy. And so he'd take me with him all the time. Never owned a car.
How'd you get there? You rode?
Rode with horse.
Damn. Wow, that sounds like fun.
That was fun for me. A 5-6-year-old kid, man, I was like in heaven.
God. Yeah, I can imagine.
We went everywhere. We'd go 30 miles with a
day. It might not have been as fun in the wintertime up there.
No, that's true. It wasn't as fun, but you still went.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I got interested in looking at situations where, and you know, some people talk about, they talk about reading these books on, his name slips my mind now, you know, who's the old Harriet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've got them at home.
Yeah.
Good books, go ahead.
Good books, but that was what it was like at home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was like. If a guy has two cows and he's got three or four kids or five or six kids, mm-hmm. cows are pretty darn important to him. There was his milk and his butter and his whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And if he has one beef and he loses beef, guess what? There's no meat that winter.
Well, there's not much industry up there.
No, there's no industry.
It's mostly farm.
Just farming and fishing. Now, the fishing industry in the last 30 years has been gone.
Why is that?
I guess just overfished. You know, the cod was a very big commodity, codfish. Very big commodity, huge commodity. But then the Russians started coming in with what do they call those, the big boats we used to fish on them. They come in and can it. They'd have a factory ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would just come out there and sit off the 200-mile limit and just sit there for months at a time.
Yeah.
And every now and then they'd have a boat come in and pick up all the canned cod, and they'd take it. And that fish was a factory in a boat.
Huh.
They just fished and fished and fished, and then they shut it down. So.
I've never been out there. Sounds like a wonderful country, though.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice country. Well, my dad was like in the American. He's American, but he's in the American Air Force, and so he married a girl from Canada. So that's how we ended up there.
Oh, okay.
He retired when I was.
Where was he from originally?
He was from Maine.
Oh, okay.
So
it wasn't too far.
Yeah, it wasn't too far, and he was in the forces. So he ended up buying a farm, and we just lived there. It was a pretty nice area, I thought.
Yeah, sounds like a wonderful way to grow up. Let me pay a bill here at the top of the hour.
Yes.
And we'll get right back to you. Well, let's see. Sunday in France, Tableau. a 3-year-old colt by Giant's Causeway when the Group 2, I'm going to try to pronounce the name of this race, but it's a French race.
You see, I'll tell you.
The Group 2 Pre HOLQUART, Haute Croix de Longchamp.
Haute Croix de Longchamp, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's what he won. Tableau. And that same day at Leopardstown, just pretending a 3-year-old filly by Giant's Causeway, won the Group 3 1,000 Guineas Trial of Tableau, a $330,000 graduate of the September sales at Keeneland, was bred by Galleria Bloodstock and raised at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. He's won 2 group stakes in succession, stamping himself as one of the best 3-year-olds in France. Just pretending was bred in Kentucky by Eagle Holdings, and the Guineas Trial was her first start in stakes. Both Just Pretending and Tableau are owned by the partnership of Derek Smith, Susan Magnier, and Michael Tabor. Giant's Causeway, 3 times the number one sire in North America, is the sire of 8 2013 stakes winners. 5 of them are graded stakes winners. No other sire in America has sired more. Giant's Causeway stands at Ashford Stud. Watch for his yearlings at the major sales this year. And for more information about the stands at Ashford Stud, check the website at coolmore.com.
WLXT Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price they'll cost.
Stevie Wonderboy is the sire of Made to Lover, winner of the $100,000 Moccasin Stakes at Hollywood Park, and second in the great $250,000 Santa Inez Stakes, and third in Laurel's $100,000 Willow on the Move Stakes. He's the sire of Sticks Wonderful, winner of 3 of her 4 starts in the $250,000 Remington Park Oaks. So California Stakes winner Run Stevie Run. Grade 2 place Cielo Hermoso. Graded, multiple graded place Katie Get Excited. Graded stakes place Starship Flare. And of stakes place Indy Lightning and Piranhas. All from his first 2 crops of racing age. Stevie Wonderboy earned the Eclipse Award as champion 2-year-old after the grade 1, won the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Jubilee and the grade 2 Del Mar Futurity. And he earned over $1 million. He is one of 5 grade 1 stakes winners by grade 1 millionaire Stephen Godeven, a son of AP Indy. And he stands for $5,000 live folder, Mr. Midget Bird and C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, starting the second hour of this mess. And I'm talking to Dr. Doug Beebe, a veterinarian originally from Canada. Doug, what got you out of Canada? How'd they blast you out of there?
Well, it was all a matter of, economics. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot more horses where I came to in Florida, South Carolina, Georgia than there were in Canada. So,
did you come down as a vet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you. I know you told me you've gone through. I heard you mention Auburn.
Yeah.
But then you went to the Carolinas.
Yeah. Went to Carolinas. I worked in the racetrack a couple of years, and then went to Carolinas at Webb Carroll and Frank Smith, who owns Ellery Training Center.
Now that's South Carolina, isn't it?
Yep. It's all South Carolina.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's only about 16 miles apart, both training centers, and both are done very, very well, as you know.
Mm. Are they close to Aiken or?
Yeah, they are. About 40 miles from Aiken.
Okay.
So that's the whole deal. They were very close with Aiken.
Phone's ringing, Doc.
No, that's all right. Got taken care of. I got a horse in today in Churchill. So.
Oh, what do you? Oh, here we go. We're going to get touted now.
No. Not going to tout this filly. This filly's a very nicely well-bred filly, but she's been a real handful.
Yeah.
It's probably ruined. I'm trying to bring her back. I bought her from an individual, and her mind is not where it should be. And so you know how.
What'd you buy?
She's Awesome Again.
Yeah. Ooh, I love him.
Yeah. Awesome Again is Awesome Again out of a Pleasant Tap mare.
Oh, yeah. Should run all day.
Yeah, should run all day, you know. Yeah.
Who's got her for you?
Well, my trainer's Mr. Ed Mattingly.
Okay.
He works out of Ellis Park.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have a couple of horses, and he's a very – very good, honest guy and a good horseman. So.
Yeah. Well, let's get you back to South Carolina.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's really kind of with a little bit of track experience. Working on the farm was a little more perhaps getting used to the individual horses and watching the same horse every day. And that, I think, tied things together for me as a practitioner, because on the racetrack, as you know, you might see a horse and you try to get in a stable and then stay with that stable, but they're only there for 3 months or 4 months and then they're gone. So you lose track of the horse and his whole medical history. I think what was really nice at the training centers was I got to look at a lot of horses during the time when a lot of them get hurt. Mm-hmm. But you could treat them every day. You could be there for 5, 6, 7, 8 months. So,
yeah.
So then you might see some horses come back that did get injured on the track that you had treated as a yearling or when they were first being broken as two-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And so you had more of a history of that horse's injuries or potential injuries. And so that was a really kind of an interesting time in my life to really put things together.
Yeah.
Then when I went back to the racetrack, then I tried more to be more part of the team with the exercise guy, the trainer, the vet, the groom. And I think that's what the business right now is perhaps lacking. You know, we can't seem to get, a handle on really what's going on in a real true stable,
mm-hmm.
Because you're in and out, and it's all a matter of economics, and right now it's getting to be a little bit tough for veterinarians unless they're in a group, because X-ray machines cost $100,000 in digital, and you got ultrasounds are more expensive, and the technology that you have to be competitive against other veterinarians, you're competing against groups of veterinarians. So they use the X-ray machine on Monday, and you use it on Tuesday, and someone else uses it on Wednesday. So it can pay for itself.
Yeah.
But I've been fortunate because of, I spent a lot of my time with some people who were much more in tune with, I think, nutrition and chemistry than I was, and the development of this product OCD, which is used for, as you know, bone issues.
I'm going to ask you about that. What happened?
I spent several years, just doing basic research that really led me. I'd done graduate work in nutrition, and it always was a big sticking point in my mind when I was X-raying horses for these sales, and I'd see more and more fractures, even at the training centers when I was a young vet getting out of vet school. Every year I kept seeing more and more chips and spurs and fractures and splints and all these things having to do with the skeletal system. So I knew there was something that all horses aren't bred to the same stallion, and that's what most of my colleagues told me, Doc, you're off base, it's all genetics, and I didn't really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So that thing kept sticking in my head, this nutrition. So we knew what horses were getting. I analyzed lots of feeds, I analyzed lots of hays, and then when we took the soil samples and realized that there's a lot of things that bone needs that mm-hmm. is in the soil that is no longer in the soil.
Hmm.
So we took, soil samples from California, New York, Florida, Kentucky, and we analyzed these things and found that they were lacking in a lot of the trace mineral complexes that are needed for bone.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started feeding it, we started feeding it to brood mares, and we did a 3-year study on brood mares, and all the brood mares that we did, though, at least half of their foals had to have had bone issues, whether they were OCDs or bone cysts or whatever.
Yeah.
And so when we fed them the product, we came out like it was over 98% clear foals.
Wow.
So, and these were foals that had the propensity genetically, if genetic was playing a role, to throw horses or babies that had bone issues.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. So then we started, of course, it's difficult to sell a preventative medicine or supplement, but people started using it for fractures, and big trainers were using it for fractures and chips and spurs and buck shins and all the issues that we have, and they were resolving much, much quicker than they would normally, because let's face it, a horse in a stall,
mm-hmm.
he's not getting anything that he really truly needs from the soil, because if the soil doesn't have it, the hay doesn't have it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
The only place you're going to get it is from the feed, and they don't in feeds, they can't afford to put the trace mineral complexes that are needed, the micronutrients that are needed for bone. They couldn't do it. It would be impossible.
Yeah.
Huh. So
I see you advertise extensively. You know, I see
we do?
On HRTV. And
HRTV.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of trainers using it.
A lot of trainers are using it.
How long has it been on the market now?
It's been the market be 6 years this fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must be
yeah, I've been very blessed. I mean, it's been unbelievable. We have international sales. France has 300 or 400 brood mares in one farm.
Wow.
We have Japan, Malaysia, South America. It's been very – I've been, like I say, I just keep saying I've been blessed. I never ever thought it would be – mm-hmm. international, and it really truly
now
is.
You're putting out some other products too now.
Another product now is brought out for the dog market, canine market. So that's a huge market and much more difficult to get into, but like I say, results are results. And
people, you don't own a dog.
I don't own a dog. I own horses though, so but It's a little bit more difficult with the dog because of the acidity of the stomach, and you know a dog can chew bone and digest it, whereas you know horses are generally just straight vegetarian. So there's a lot of chemistry and nutrition that goes in the dog industry or is used in products for dogs that's not used in horses.
Yeah.
So it was a little more difficult, but like I say, I have people who are much. I don't want to say I'm brilliant. People who are brilliant, mm-hmm. who are helping and helping a lot.
Yeah. Where do you produce these things?
I produce it in South Carolina.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doc Products Inc.
Doc's Products Inc.
Is that how?
Yep.
Is that your website?
That's the website.
Do you, Doc?
Or if they just type in OCD, which is pretty easy to remember, OCD pellets will get you. I mean, if you type in OCD pellets or OCD, even you might get obsessive compulsive disorder. One or two, but
I might need that.
I might need that. I get some strange looks when I wear an OCD hat.
Do you?
People look at me like, why would you advertise OCD? And then they'll see the pellets alongside of it, and they kind of like, oh,
okay.
Maybe he's not obsessive compulsive, you know.
Okay. Well, you most of your vet practice is right around here now.
Right around here, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You go to Louisville and stuff like that.
I do. I'm doing much more acupuncture now. I became certified in acupuncture, and I really – it's been amazing. I mean, I think, you know, we're all blessed with a lot of different things, and many people are blessed with this thing too, but this thing being – I desire to learn. I just love to learn things. I mean, I will sit down and read. I read every day.
I'm a believer in acupuncture.
Yeah, me too.
I've had it.
Yeah,
it done.
Me too.
It really helped me.
It does.
And I tell you, the first time I really – Jackie, what was the name of that doctor used to go to? Where are you?
I'm right here. What kind of a doctor?
The Wheeler, Betty Wheeler.
Yeah.
She told Jackie about taking a trip to China and watching an operation where the only anesthetic they used for a hysterectomy was acupuncture.
That's right.
I said, oh, wait a minute. I've used it on horses and it's helped.
Yeah, I have too. I used it mostly before I became certified. I used it mostly for diagnosing problems.
Mm-hmm. Finding the spot.
Finding the spot. What's right. going really truly on with it? I mean, for example, I know good veterinarians would know the difference, but a lot of times you'll have a problem in a hock that looks like the stifle. And, of course, when the hock flexes, the stifle flexes.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really know for sure which one is really causing the most problem because, of course, when one goes, the other one tends to get more.
Yeah.
You know. So – I've been able to use that as an example to diagnose definitely hocked or definitely stifled, which is a big deal. I mean, the guy's paying you money. He doesn't want you treating something that's not the right thing.
Yeah. I had a weanling once that he was by Sir Ivor.
Oh, okay.
Expensive, and I was boarding him. He wouldn't mind. I was boarding him.
Right.
And he got colic, and the vet came up, and he – acupunctured his head.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
What the hell is this? I said, aren't you going to, you know, oil this horse or anything? And that was it.
That was it.
You know, so
I
couldn't believe it. That's been a long time ago.
I know, and it's advanced significantly since then.
Yeah.
Because really in actuality, now they have international language. At one time, they might, and there's different meridians on horses, and say, let's just use an example. I know it probably is Greek to you, but bladder 53. Well, mm-hmm. bladder 53 in the United States might be called kidney 27 in mm-hmm. Germany.
Yeah.
And it might be called liver 52 in China. So no one could communicate because no one really knew what point you were talking about.
Yeah, right.
But now they've got an international language that everyone's on the same page. And so that just is like the printing press, how much it information.
Yeah. So, I had a little back problems that helped me. Go ahead, Jackie.
Did you go to Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That place
Dr.
in Florida.
Chi.
Yeah, that's the one. I just wanted
University of Florida, Dr. Chi, fourth generation acupuncturist and a fifth generation herbologist, which is herbs are very important also. And I use them a lot. And I see vets here in Kentucky using a lot of herbs. I should know his name, and I hate to say
Carol.
No, the Spanish veterinarian right here.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Mark Carroll does it too.
Yeah.
Larkspur Carroll. She's a vet.
But they use herbs and acupuncture, and I don't know how much acupuncture he uses, but I know he uses herbs.
Yeah.
And they're very, very important.
Yeah, Lark Carroll has been doing it for a number of years. That's Dale Carroll's daughter.
Yeah, but we are all, I don't want to get metaphysical on you, but all we are is positive and negative charges mm-hmm. in different shapes. That's all we are. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm in pretty bad shape.
Some days we have more negatives and more positives.
But, yeah, right.
You know, but
Well, that's interesting.
Everything is transmitted. I mean, nerve impulses are positive, negative. Muscle contractions, positive, negative.
Yeah.
Repolarization, depolarization, cell function. Everything is, you know, electrolytes. Look at the sodium and chloride. They're all positive, negative balances.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing that the body is so complicated, yet if we would just listen to it, you know,
mine speaks really loudly to me. I try to quiet it down.
Well, the thing is, if you talk about ouches and oohs and all those things, but the bottom line is, people say, how old are you?
You're not expecting me to answer that, are you?
No, and if you do answer it, I hope you tell me this. How old would you be if you had no idea of how old you really were?
How old would I be? Oh, how old do I feel? Is that what you're saying?
More or less, because some days you might feel like you're 90, some days you feel like you're 40. But we try
It's been a long time since I felt like I'm 40.
Well, you're pretty healthy. You've been doing this for 32 years, I think you told me the other day. Was it 32?
Well, this particular show hadn't been that long. This show had just been on about 15 years.
Okay.
I had another show that was on for 50.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you've been blessed.
Oh, absolutely.
Very blessed.
Yeah. I'm still going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm afraid to slow down. Somebody might be gaining on me. That's. To quote, who was it that said that?
Probably Mark Twain.
I don't know. Not. I forget who it now was. Anyway, well, I'll let you go. Sounds like you're busy. Your phone's ring about six or seven times since we got here. I don't want to cut you out of some business.
No, don't worry about business.
Don't worry about
business. No, I don't worry about business. I tell you why. Here's the deal. In veterinary medicine, and if there's any vets listening to this, they'll know. Accounts receivable is unbelievable, particularly on the racetrack.
Yeah.
With this business, there are no accounts receivable. None.
Yeah.
So that in itself.
With the OCD thing?
Before it goes out of the office, the money's in the bank account. Bank account.
There you go.
So that's the whole deal. To me, it's so much more pleasant working knowing you're going to get paid.
Well, I'm glad I bumped into you that night over at
Keeneland. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll talk again, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I hope so.
Well, Doug, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Doug Beebe. And it's nice meeting you. And come back and see us. We're doing business here.
I'd love to. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
I hope your listeners do, too.
All righty. Well, Brush by Stars won 4 stakes and placed in 5 others for earnings over $629,000. She won the Grade 2 Molly Pitcher and the Grade 2 Shaluki. She placed in 3 stakes this year, including the Grade 1 Santa Margarita and the Grade 3 60 sales. But she goes into stakes race today, by the way. And Brush by Star is by Eddington. So was Secret Circle, one of the Grade 2 Rebel, the Grade 3 Southwest, and the Jack Goodman at Santa Anita. And the now Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint, second in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, and the Grade 3 Sham, earned over $1 million. Gold Edge, one of five 2012 stakes winners by Eddington, won two stakes at Arlington, including the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie. Those are the kind of runners you can get with Eddington, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,216,000 by Classic Winner and Classic Sire Unbridled, and the Broodmare Sire Warbler. Eddington stands for $5,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Contact Bernie Sams at 859-223-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. If you're looking for a realtor and somebody that you can trust, and somebody who'll get the job done for you, you need to get in touch with Hill and Reagan Parker. And go to their website. It's lexhorsefarms.com, LexHorsefarms.com. And the phone number is a Lexington number, of course, 608-8039. And they're real horse people, and they're helping real horse people. I mean, I've known Hill for a number of years now, probably longer than he'd like to admit. But he's a good horseman. He's a top flight horseman. And he's been in the real estate business for over a dozen years now. And he's just as good a realtor as a horseman. And I tell you what, I've watched his horses out here for many years, and he had the best trained horses I've ever seen. I mean, the horses follow him around. I think you could tell them to heel, and they walk right in a trailer after him. But that's a gift. And go to that website. They've got listings just about every major county around here, and some that aren't so major. But if you want to live in Bourbon County, they got a real nice place down in Bourbon County. It's just 75 acres, horse farm, turnkey. So go to the website and look that up, lexhorsefarms.com. Got a nice home on it and a real, real good price in Bourbon County. Come on down to be a neighbor. Jesmond County, Fayette County, Woodford County, Scott, Clark, variety of locations and prices all over the state. So that's Hill and Reagan Parker. They can help you find just the right party, farm that you want. And they're great people. They really work hard for you. So they're great people to list your farms with to get the job done. That's LexHorseFarms.com, Hill and Reagan Park. Country Days. All right. Am I through there?
Right. No, you're not.
His name is Paul Revere, and here's the guy.
Oh, okay.
The weather is clear. Can do. Can do.
Okay, wait. We'll get through with that. Now I'll do a commercial. Country Day's half-sister, Good Deed, won the Unbridled Sydney Stakes at Churchill Downs last Saturday. Country Day, Good Deed, and Due Date are all multiple stakes winners out of the Blue Hen producer Hidden Assets by Mount Livermore. Hidden Assets won Graded Stakes, earned over $300,000. She's one of two Graded Stakes winners out of Silken Ripples, who's by Roberto. The third dam is yet another Blue Hen producer, Minnetonka. It's a pedigree loaded with Graded Stakes winners. Now, Country Day is by Sprightstown, a top five sire again this year. His stud fee's climbed all the way to $60,000. It's a great pedigree, and Country Day's lived up to it. He won stakes on dirt, grass, and artificial, earned over $500,000. He was a superior sprinter. He's by a champion sprinter, and he's standing his first season in stud for $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Stands at Crestwood Farm, home also of Channel, Get Stormy, Mutata, No Biz Like Showbiz, Taste of Paradise, and Tis Deja Vu. Call Pope McLean. Number over there is 859-252-3770. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
I'm heading down the highway, happy tears running on time. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies.
All righty. Little Arthur Hancock there. Talking to Steve Moody, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services, a great outfit, by the way. And they're running a stakes race up at Churchill today. It's the fillies and mares going along the Katana Stakes. Steve, how do you look at this race today? I love these mile and three-eighths on the grass races.
Well, we've got a field of 10 that were drawn in here, Ursel. It looked to me like the top two were in here were the five-horse Chris G and the 10 horse preferential. The five has been extremely consistent. It always seems to be right there, just hasn't been able to win since she's come over here to the United States, and still trying to find that first U.S. win for Graham Motion. I thought the bottom horse preferential would be the one to beat today. She got a nice tightener at Keeneland in a little shorter race. Stretches out today to 11 furlongs, and that looks to be more of her. Way of going. She likes, I think, the longer distances better, and probably needed that last one. I think she'll move forward today for Bill Mott. I think she'll be. I don't know if she'll make the lead today. She could from the outside. If nobody wants to go, but. In any case, I think she'll be fairly close, and kind of look for her to take over, turn for home, and then try to hold off the late runners through the stretch. So I'm going to go with a preferential Kushi, probably to get part of it once again, but come up a little short, and then Midnight Music, another. Shipper from across the way for Tom Proctor, who who trained Kirtana, the horse that this race is named for. So 10-5-6 today in the Kirtana Stakes.
All righty. Well, you gave us the Derby winner. Who do you like in the Preakness?
Well, it's I like Orb again, Ursel. I'm not going to go against him. I think I'm not like most people. I'm not crazy about the one hole. It's not terrible, but it's not optimal either. Haven't been too many winners from the one hole in the last 60 years at Pimlico. I think 1950 you had one. Then you had another one in 1960, and then you had to go all the way up to 94 for the next one, and that was Tabasco Cat, and haven't had one since. So one hole's not probably the place to be, but it's only a nine-horse field, and he's got two speed horses right outside of him. So I think they're going to both go on out of there, and he should have, shouldn't have any will, get pinched in or anything like that, assuming the other two break okay. And, for him to settle off the pace and, come running again like he did in the Derby. The horses I'm going to try to get in underneath him are Will Take Charge, the Lucas horse. I think both of the Lucas horses, well, I know he's got three, but the two that ran in the Derby I think could run well today. Will Take Charge is my second choice. Just had a horrible trip in the Derby.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got to see the aerial view there, Ursel, but, he was running, head and head with Orb, at leaving the 3/8 pole. and Verrazano
stopped right in front of him.
Right in front of him,
yeah.
And he actually did pretty well just to finish eighth. And then Oxbow, of course, was up close all the way, and he was the only only horse that was up close early that was even close at the wire, finishing sixth. So I think both of those could run well today, and I think Milute, he'll be running late like he was in the Derby. So we're going to take Orb over, I think it's the 5, 6, 7, those three, and then might throw Departing in with them. So one over 4, 5, 6, 7 in the Superfecta.
Mm. All right. Well, we appreciate that very much. All right, Steve. Well, thank you. Steve, of course, that Kentucky Handicapper sheet, if you're going to Churchill or going to Keeneland, you can buy it right there. You can go to the website, brisnet.com, and pick it up. Or pretty near everywhere, the celebration form, you'll find the Kentucky Handicapper sheet. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
All right. Well, Flotilla, a 3-year-old filly by Mizzenmast, making her first start since winning the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf last November, won the Group 1 French 1,000 guineas on Sunday. Flotilla was described as a cozy winner over a field of 20. 3-year-old fillies winning by a length and a half at the direct expense of previously undefeated Esoteric, a daughter of Dane Hill Dancer. Flotilla has accumulated earnings of more than $916,000, and she looms as the one to beat in the upcoming French Oaks. She's one of 5 Grade 1 stakes winners by Mizzenmast, a list that includes the brilliant millionaire Misdirection, winner of the 2012 running of the $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and until proven otherwise, the best turf sprinter in the nation of either sex. Grade 1 winner Mizzenmast by Cosine is at Judmont Farm for $15,000 live foal. That's the home also of the Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. Now, First Defense is the sire of a graded stakes winner on dirt and a group stakes winner on grass in his very first crop, and he stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, last Saturday at Belmont, the Grade 2 Peter Pan was won by Freedom Call, bred by Spencer Farm. The next day in France, Tableau, a colt raised at Ashford Stud for breeder Galleria Bloodstock, won Group 2 stakes. Yesterday at Pimlico, the Grade 2 Black Eyed Susan stakes winner, 50 Shades of Hay, was bred by Windstar Farm. The Grade 3 Pimlico Special went to Last Gunfighter, bred by John Gunther. And the very one stakes, also at Pimlico, was won by Sensible Lady, another runner bred by Spendthrift Farm. Freedom Call, Tableau, 50 Shades of Hay, Last Gunfighter, and Sensible Lady were all raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. Congratulations to the folks at Spendthrift, Ashford Stud, and Windstar Farm, and to Mr. Gunther. The list of major stakes winners raised on Macaulay Brothers products grows with leaps and bounds. To add your name to the list, contact Mike Warren or Steve Longmire at 859-873-3333. You're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Tiago won a place in 11 graded stakes. He won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. That's a race noted for winners that went on to become top sires, APND, Indian Charlie, Sunday Silence. He won the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, the Grade 2 Oakland Handicap. Among his stakes placings, you'll find the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. You earn more than $2,358,000, and if you don't earn that kind of money by dodging tough competition. During his career, he met and defeated 23 Grade 1 or Group 1 stakes winners, including the likes of Curlin and Hard Spun. Tiago is one of 8 Grade 1 stakes winners by champion Pleasant Tap, sire of 58 stakes winners. Tiago's dam, a multiple stakes winner herself, is also the dam of Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo, winner of over $2,537,000 and the sire of 17 stakes horses in his first three crops. 4 2013 stakes winners, including the multiple graded stakes winner in Classic Place, Disposable Pleasure, recent winner of the Grade 3 60 Sale Stakes. Multi-millionaire and Grade 1 winner Tiago, $3,500 doing a full stanza nurses. He stands at Adena Springs. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback, 859-987-1798. And see the website at adenastallions.com. Don't forget that. Eddie, we're going right now to Jackie.
Okay. First announcement is not a good one. It's just a heartbreaker. This year's High Hope Steeplechase has been canceled. The track, because of the wet conditions this spring and the cold, it just is a mess, and it's not safe. Bill Wofford is, saw him, and he said he's on the safety committee. You can't do it. First, they took away the steeplechases, the jump races, and then it's just too bad to even flat race on it. So they're going to come back next year. Flags flying, hopefully. So real sorry. That would have been tomorrow. Today and tomorrow, however, Nori Scheffel at Scheffel Ridge Farm is having her spring horse show. Saturday today is Hunters. They've got 53 classes. Wow, that's a lot. And tomorrow, Jumpers, Sunday, May 19th. I'm going to take Miss Betsy over there to watch. That's a fun show. The Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program Thoroughbred Hunter Classic is judged on hunter performance. Now, what that's about is they are setting up a, I don't know, it's kind of like a grid. They're having thoroughbred horse shows this summer, and you can compete if you're riding a thoroughbred, because they're trying to show what great athletes they are, wonderful horses, thoroughbreds off the racetrack. So that's something else to think about, too. Norrie's, to get to Norrie's, go straight out Ironworks. Cross 460 and turn left at the next available opportunity and go on down about a mile and a half, 2 miles. I don't know. It's down on the right. It's a lot of fun. She always has good foods, too. I don't know. She just, you know, she does it right. So it's a lot of fun. That's Scheffel Ridge today and tomorrow.
I don't know if you have the date on that or not, Jackie.
Yes, I do. I've got, let me find that. I was doing the horse shows first.
Go ahead. I just wanted to make sure you did
okay.
that.
Okay. It's about Jamie Nicholson's book signings. I've got that. Sure. All right. As I was saying, there's thoroughbred horse shows, and there's one June the 1st. Now, entries close tomorrow. Great show. This is to show off your thoroughbred. Show is June the 1st, entries the 8th, close the 18th. Is that tomorrow? That's today. Divisions, hunter jumper, combined test, dressage in hand, show highlights, prizes. They got a lot of prizes and stuff. You know, Nick Zito's giving them some money and stuff. They've got the $500 Nick Zito Racing Stable Hunter Classics. And, like I said, there are you can win points, and at the end of the year, they're going to have a lot of stuff. Windstar Stablemates is a sponsor, and let's see who else. Jockey Club Incentive Program, that's what this is, their sponsor. Margo Farm, different, and Banks, bless her heart, she's right there with retired thoroughbreds. She's good, she's a good scout. So that is going to be June the 1st. If you want more information, call 559-1409 or go to tbhorseshow.com. Now, today is the 18th, tomorrow's the 19th. Kentucky Spring 2 Hunter Jumper Show is today and tomorrow. And next Thursday is the KDA Spring Warm Up and Annual Dressage Show. Next Friday is the Kentucky Invitational High School Rodeo. That runs through the weekend. And May Day's Horse Trials is Friday and Saturday. So there's a lot of stuff. Oh, cross-country schooling at the horse park. They had to cancel the first one because of the rains. Now, that next one coming up is Tuesday, the 28th of May. Lots of stuff going on. Let me see. Turn the page. Oh, the next sort of thing, and Masterson Equestrian Trust has different shows going on. June 15th and the 16th is the Mid-South Tetrathlon Rally. What's a tetrathlon? You have any idea? You have to swim and stuff, do you?
Triathlon. You gotta do
no, it's not triathlon. It's tetrathlon. I don't know what all you have to do. I'd have to go out and wind up making a fool out of myself. I think I'll skip that one. I'm going to go watch it. TOBA 2013 Seminars and Clinic. The next one is May 31st through June the 2nd. This is a breeding clinic here in Lexington. They're going to visit a lot of nice horse farms. This is a good one. Go to TOBA.org online, or locally it's 276-2291. Now, Jamie Nicholson's new book, Never Say Die, Kentucky Colt, the Epsom Derby, and the Rise of the Modern Thoroughbred. Listen, that thing reads like, did you know?
It's good. It's a great book.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't put it down.
Yeah, it really was. It talks about a lot of people some of them that I knew personally, and then others that I absolutely knew who they were. And he got little tidbits about things.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was just, you'd say, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Yeah, we kept reading it to each other.
He's really researched this. Usually, been around as long as I have, and I can pick up a book about somebody's written about horse racing or something like that, and somewhere down the line I say, oops.
That's wrong.
But I couldn't find anything in this one.
That's great.
Not that I was looking for it, but, you know, but usually they hit between the eye. You know,
yeah, that's. Well, June the 12th at 6 o'clock, he's going to be at the Bourbon County Library. Now,
for a book signing.
Now, he's been different places. I can't read that one. You're scribbly writing.
I think he's already had that one, Jackie.
Oh, okay. He's been to Louisville, and I've scratched through the ones where he's been. So the next one, is this University Press? Yeah. University Press of Kentucky. I'm sure you can get it. Joseph Beth and Barnes & Noble. So, no, it's a great book. It's a great book for Father's Day. That's a good idea. A good book like that. Hats Off Day at the Horse Park is going to be Saturday, July 27th. And the reason we're talking about it all early is Dr. Tom Riddle wants us to mention it. So we get hats to them to give away. They ran out real early. Thousands of hats. They get all sorts of people there. So
interrupt
that's
your
a
second.
Reminder. Go ahead.
Well, Unbridled was a classic winner and a classic sire. What's more, he is the broodmare sire of this year's Kentucky Derby winner, Orb, and a host of others. Boostin' Farr is a multiple graded stakes winner by Unbridled. He won graded stakes at Keeneland at Belmont Park. In fact, he won a place in 9 graded stakes, was beaten less than a length in grade 1 stakes. He was versatile, winning on dirt, grass, artificial. And for those of you breeding to race, looking for a sire that can put you in the winner's circle, standing for a reasonable fee, consider this. Boostin' Farr is the sire of 7 winners and won the place from 9 starters, including 5-time winner in stakes place Mothiba. Boostin' Farr stands for $2,000 live foal. A Shadwell Farm, home also of grade 1 winner and proven graded stakes sire Daher. By awesome again, Into Dob, a graded stakes winner, and sire of 2013 graded stakes winner Hit Hard Hoof. Hall of Famer Invisor, the sire of 2013 stakes horses at Belmont, the Fairgrounds, Tampa Bay. And Jazzle, winner of the classic grade 1 Belmont stakes and the sire of grade 1 stakes winners. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. That's my good friend, Dr. Bill Bernard, and also Dr. Wesley Sutter, over on Georgetown Pike, right where Ironworks empties onto Georgetown. You can't miss it. And Dr. Bernard, of course, spent some 20 years with Rude and Riddle. They've been in business over there now for about 3 years at Lexington Equine. And he's an internist. He told me that Dr. Doug Byers was his mentor. Boy, he learned under the best. If that was true, and I'm sure it is, or he wouldn't have said it. Dr. Sutter is an orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine they specialize in. This is an elective surgery only. It's an outpatient medicine. You call up, you tell them what you want done. You bring your horse in. First of all, they tell you what it's going to cost, and there's no surprises. When they hand you the bill, that's what it's going to be. Not going to be any add-ons for anything. You come in, they take care of your horse, and you go home. Can't beat that. And Believe me, it's fair and reasonable prices. Got some new scintigraphy stuff over there. You know, they got the only MRI, standing MRI in Lexington. And, you know, from the foot all the way up to the knee, you don't have to put them down anymore. I mean, lay them down. You just walk in there and they do the MRI. Only one in town. And their bone scan is state of the art. Everything over there is state of the art. Go look it over. It's as I said, it's over on Georgetown Pike, right close to where the Ironworks Pike empties out. That's Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. And here's their website, LexingtonEquine.com. Well, U.S. Ranger was a champion 3-year-old of his year in Ireland, and he had been undefeated as a 2-year-old year before. He was an outstanding runner, and he has a great sire pedigree. He's by Cyrus Danzig, who got 202 stakes winners. His dam is a daughter, Red Ransom, the sire of 112 stakes winners. And she is a half-sister to Dinah Former, sire of 126 stakes winners. And that's just scratching the surface. The female family is loaded with black type, far as the eye can see. Breeders inspected U.S. Ranger and liked what they saw. He covered some 300 mares in his first three seasons at stud. They liked his foals, too. Covered 146 mares just last year. They were popular at the sales. In 2012, his first crop yearling sold for $234,000, $180,000, $170,000, average over 7.5 times the stud fee. Champion U.S. Ranger by Champion Sire Danzig, with a pedigree loaded with sire power, $5,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses. Stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packer to Chance Tim, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie.
Okay. 17 of the 19 starters in the Derby were foaled in Kentucky. 9 of 9 in the Preakness were foaled in Kentucky. Because they canceled that last schooling day at the horse park, they are having it May 28th, and then they're having another one right away, June the 1st. Let's see. Well, Fooey.
Fooey.
Why have I got this in here? Oh, no. I'd already said that. Well.
Going through the debris over here.
Oh, man.
The Derberis.
Derberis. Ah, it's about okay.
Got it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, I'll do a little Palmer. Got a little time here. Dateline Baltimore, Maryland. On the Friday before the Preakness, inquiry was duly made. Where, for instance, was Barnum's Hotel? And who was Dr. John T. Walsh? It would be nice to get a bed down without having to fight the Preakness crowd. Are you all right? Said the man. Did you get sick on the train or stand in the sun, maybe? I know you can buy tickets on the Kentucky Derby when Dawn's left hand is in the sky, but we don't start betting on the Preakness the night before. Well, then, was the petulant reply, why do you print it on a program? And why do you have only 4 races? The man seemed to be counting. Let me see the program, he said after he got to 10. Sure enough, the program read, pools on the improved Paris Mutual plan will be sold every night before the races. Mr. John T. Walsh of Kentucky will also sell pools on the old plan every morning and evening at Barnum's Hotel. The man drew a small mirror from his pocket and looked at himself carefully. Then he looked at the program again. I knew the taxicab situation in Baltimore was bad, he said, but you've had to wait longer than most. This program is for the spring meeting of 1875. It wasn't a taxicab situation, of course. It was just a case of putting on an old suit without looking through the pockets. It was carelessness, too, because the program showed Tom Ochiltree entered in a maiden race. And, of course, every schoolboy knows that in 1877, the famous race between Tom Ochiltree and Parole and Tenbroke drew so many members of Congress to Pimlico that a quorum could not be obtained and the session had to be adjourned. Such a race would still draw congressmen, but these days they would be investigating something. Nothing enhances crabmeat a la Newburgh like the knowledge that you can put it on an expense account. This may give you the idea that Pimlico has been around for a while. It was just 8 days before Tom Ilicho won his first race that Aristides won the Kentucky Derby. And Baltimoreans were figuring, curiously, the new silver 25-cent pieces whose coinage has just been authorized by Congress. You know how long it's been since Congress thought about any sum of money without a string of zeros behind it. And this year's Kentucky Derby, there was a a band of Confederate uniforms, suggesting that General Lee's surrender at Appomattox had not been recognized. Pimlico's band appeared in red coats, apparently feeling that the action of Cornwallis at Yorktown might have been precipitant. When racing first started in Maryland, in fact, it was a crown colony, and people who were talking about independence did not mean independence, Missouri. There is another faint parallel with the Derby. You know the argument about whether it should be pronounced Derby or Darby. Well, last year there was a complaint from a man who said that Preakness was a Dutch word and that it should be pronounced Preakness instead of Preakness. I did not care to try it in Baltimore because the last Kentucky senator who pronounced Aristides with the accent on the second syllable was defeated for re-election. Hill Prince seemed to be the rooting favorite around Baltimore, not because of any dislike for Middle Ground or King Ranch or Max Hirsch, but because he came from neighboring Virginia. Maryland preferred its own horses, of course, and there was considerable dropping from the rafters when Loser Weeper pulled out of the Dixie. And if you ever want to get into something, just be around when a Maryland horse wins the Preakness. This department was present when Chaladin threw himself like a bull pup at the Preakness field in 1939 and still retains pleasurable, though confused, recollections of that occasion. The history of the Pimlico features, the history of the Pimlico fixtures has certain angles which fascinate this onlooker. You've heard that there are 1,000 ways to lose a horse race, of course, but that's for a horse, or better. I doubt if you ever heard of a racetrack losing one of its features for 14 years. During an unguarded moment, the Preakness escaped from the grounds and for 15 years lived in hiding at the old Gravesend course. Then it was apprehended and brought back, but this dropped from history until recently. Like the story of the man in the iron mask, there remains a question of whether mistaken identity is involved. There was no Preakness Stakes at Pimlico between 1894 and 1908 inclusive. There was a stakes of that name run at Gravesend. Now it was the same race, or were there two Preaknesses? Or, as our Mr. Smith puts it with his Latin flair, Preakni. And Mr. Alexander Dumas solved this identity of that gloomy figure in French monarchical history to his satisfaction. And Mr. Dave Woods has solved the question of the wandering Preakness to his satisfaction. He says it's the same character. To be sure, he does public relations for Pimlico and might, in other quarters, be considered prejudiced. An oddity of this is that nobody remembers. There are still a good many men around who raced at Gravesend in the old days, but none of them can recall the moving of this race. Nor has Mr. Woods been able to find any documentary evidence in the publications of the time. A year after the discovery of the hidden life of the Preakness from 1894 to 1908, Mr. Woods discovered the 3 runnings of the Dixie Handicap at the old Bennings track in Washington, D.C. There was a polite skepticism here. To find some Preaknesses was strained enough. To find more Dixies was too much. Next thing you know, you'll come up with Atlantis and contend that the first running of the Preakness was held there the year before Matt Wynn stood on the tailgate of that wagon. Well, it turned out that this unbeliever had chosen the wrong grounds for battle. Mr. Woods produced a clipping from the New York World of November 22, 1904. The author lit on Bennings for theft. Bennings had the Dixie, he said, on the single plan that they should take who had the power and they should keep who can. In case anyone was left with any doubts, he went on to say, in other words, the Bennings people stole Dixie. To lose the Preakness and allow the Dixie to be stolen, of course, suggests that willful carelessness. But Bennings died in that same year of 1904, and Pimlico repossessed itself of the Dixie, though it was kept in refrigeration for some years. And Mr. Woods routed the lost Preakney from the hiding place. So all ends well, like an old song. That was Joe Palmer. Well, beautiful dancer, 2-year-old Philippa Notional won her debut in a maiden special at Keenan in game fashion on April 25. She's the first starter from the second crop by Notional. Signed his first crop of Risky Call, winner at 2 of the Canadian Juvenile Stakes, never out of the money with 3 wins and a pair of seconds and 5 starts. And of Hopeful Notion, winner of a maiden special at the Fairgrounds and second next time out in the Gentilly Stakes, also at the Fairgrounds. Then there are such promising first crop runners as Calder Allowance winner Aunt Anna, D Notional Maiden Special winner Louisiana Downs, Jenny Says So winner first time out of a maiden special at Parks and of an allowance race in her second start, Malachite a maiden special winner at Aqueduct, Southern Knights a maiden special winner at the fairgrounds, to mention but a few of the up-and-comers by Notional. Notional won 3 graded stakes, ran second in the Grade 1 French Derby, earned over $733,000, and he's by the same sire as Indian Charlie. Now take note, Notional's eligible for Spendthrift's Breed Secure program, along with the Young Stallions Dominus, Line of David, Patio Prado, Temple City, Warriors Reward, Wilbur. Contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker. I'll get your name right. Mark Toothacker at Spendthrift Farm. 859-294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All righty, got a couple of minutes. You know, the Preakness was named after Mr. Milton Sanford's horse, Preakness. It was foaled in 1987 by Lexington at a Bay Leaf by Yorkshire. He was a full brother, incidentally, to Bayonet and Beacon, so it was a running family. Married Bay Leaf had produced the 3 top-class stakes winners. The race was named after the horse, although I think Mr. Sanford's farm was named after, was also named Preakness up in that New Jersey area, I believe it was. And I think there's a river up there called the Preakness. But anyway, the race was named after the horse. The horse might have been named after the whatever. But he was described by Walter Vosburgh as an enormous colt. And first start was a 3-year-old. He was unraced at 2, was in the dinner party stakes, and people asked Mr. Sanford they expected to beat Foster, who was a very good 2-year-old of the year, 3-year-old of the year, with a card horse. And Preakness won handily in the mud up there, and just went on to much greater things. Ended up, incidentally, going to stand at stud. Well, he went to Mr. Sanford's horses to England, and he was purchased over there by the Duke of Hamilton, put him in stud. He was a decent kind of a stud horse over in England. Didn't win over there. He didn't get over there until he was 8, although he had raced pretty good as an 8-year-old in this country. But he stood his first season at 9 and over there, and was a pretty decent kind of stud horse. Last race in this country was a dead heat with Springbok in the Saratoga Cup. Over, it was a top-quality field that particular day. Well, winners from the Thoroughbred Center during the past week since last week's show were saddled by Wayne Mogie, Melvin Kendrick, Matt Frazier. That was a quarter horse that Matt trains quarter horses and thoroughbreds. Dale Loveland, Tim Shorter, Tim Shue, Tommy Short, Jimmy Cargan, Scooter Hughes as BG Hughes, Jim Rankin, good old Bourbon County boy, Luis Jurado, Tim Shue, another one, and another one by B.G. Hughes. And Scooter's having a pretty good month as far as that goes. That's 13 winners since last week's show, and a total so far of 28 winners so far this month. That's 28 winners in 17 days, which is not bad. A couple of Churchill, Luis Jurado saddled, went on the 15th up at Churchill Downs. And I see we've had a couple others in here somewhere. Well, the Grade 3 Twin Towers Turf Sprint, Bolino de Tiger was saddled by Eduardo Cutamori. And Eduardo trains out of the Thoroughbred Center. And Jimmy Cargan win one up at Churchill Downs also. So we're doing pretty good. I think they're playing my song, that which means it's time to spit out the bit. I want to thank Dr. Beebe for coming on the show. Of course, Michael and Doug Byers and the regulars. And, of course, Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. Tune in next week, and we shall be here. And let's all go home and watch the Preakness. And
there's tons of stakes today.
Yeah, lots of stakes.
Fun day.
Yeah. Okay. Where can you find his show now, Jackie? The website is...
UrsulaEllisHorseTales.com.
Okay. And we'll talk to you next week, and thanks for listening.